You know, I haven't been here for too long. Very too long. Too very long. I last came here when this was standard. And I thought it was still standing. But they were driving along, I didn't see any sign of the standard. It said, what? Quadricruiser or something. Quadricruiser? Okay. Anyway, it's okay. Well, yeah, the last time I was here, we were having our programs in the temple on the hill, the one that looks like our temple in Chatsworth. It was designed by the same devotee who designed our temple there. Anyway, so that was some years ago. But it's nice to be here. I'm very happy to be here with you all. And it's nice to see there's so many devotees. So, what we'll do, if it's okay with you, what we'll do, we'll read a verse from Bhagavad Gita, and then I think what I'll do is, because you know, it was just Gopamina, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya on Monday just a few days ago. So I'll say something in relation to the verse from Bhagavad Gita, but something about Lord Chaitanya. What do you think? Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that all right? Good enough? All right. So, just repeat after me, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. As it is, translation and commentary by Mr. Bhagavad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We'll read from chapter 5, which is titled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. And we'll read verse 18. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Astami Shuni Chaiva Shvapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. And the translation: the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, or outcast. Let us make the purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Krishna conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. the brother that the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species, that these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme. For the Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion, as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned, in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone because he treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The Lord's Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the Brahman. Although the body of the Brahman and that of an outcast are not the same, the bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the super soul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the super soul, however, does not make them equal in quantity. For the individual soul is present only in that particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. A Krishna conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and super soul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the super soul is conscious of all bodies. The super soul is present in all bodies without distinction. Let me read the verse again. Vidyadanaya sampane brahmane yamihastine shivichaya shlokakecha pandita samadarshana. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, an outcast. So let's say a few words about this. There are all Vishnu Vidai Krishna Krishna Hutare, Jamani Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Nandya, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gaurana Pachayana, Nira Vishesha Shrivyavaya, Eskutya Vishesha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lakshyamta Rupyas Chakri Prasiddhu Gaya Pakitana Bhagavadyo Vaishnavadyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavadyo Namo Namaha. So I chose this verse because in this verse Lord Krishna uses the word humble, the humble sages, those devotees who are very humble, not very proud and puffed up and thinking they're very important, but the humble devotees are given mercy by Krishna in many ways. But one way they're given mercy by Krishna is that they can see when they look at different people and different living entities of different types, that they see them all equally. This is what Krishna says here. This humble devotee sees equally a Brahmin, means like a priest, that sort of person, a Brahmin, and a cow. It's amazing, isn't it? And a dog, and an elephant. He doesn't really see them as being very different from each other, but really he sees them as being essentially the same, basically the same, as eternal spirit souls. So the thing is this, that when a devotee is humble, then Krishna gives mercy. Oftentimes people wonder, how can we get some mercy from God? I think any religious person has that idea, I want some mercy from God. But here Krishna is making the point that he gives mercy to those who are humble. Not if you think you're a big, important, you know, a big lady. You say that, a big lady from wisdom. There's an interesting little explanation in the Krishna book, in the chapter which is dealing with the rasa dance, when Krishna danced with the gopis at night. And if you're familiar with that pastime, you would know Krishna danced with the gopis for some time, and then suddenly Krishna left the gopis. Just like that, he practically just vanished. And they were very upset that Krishna has just gone. He went off with Srimati Radharani. So they followed the other gopis followed their footprints, Krishna and Radharani together. But then after a little while they found that Krishna had left Radharani also. And the explanation is that in a certain way, the gopis had become a little proud. It's in a very special way. It's not like how we become proud. In fact, they do not really become proud, really. But he's just using them as an example to illustrate the point for us. Because we do become proud sometimes. They say, there's a saying, a pauper means a very poor person, very poor person, becomes proud of his penny. If he has one penny, 1 cent, then he may start thinking, yes, look at me, I'm important. So, to illustrate this point, just like here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's preaching to Arjuna, but Arjuna is not confused. Arjuna is a great devotee. But Krishna has made it seem like he's confused. Just to help us, because we are confused. But Arjuna is a pure devotee. He's not really confused. But sometimes Krishna uses his great devotees to illustrate certain points for the not-so-great devotees. So Krishna left the gopis, and the idea is, because they became a little proud, that yes, just see, Krishna is dancing with me. Krishna was doing it in such a way, it seemed he was dancing only with one gopi. And each gopi was dancing with Krishna, but to each gopi it seemed like Krishna's only dancing with me. Oh, I must be special. And maybe they got a little proud. So anyway, so then Krishna left them. So Prabhupada makes the point, and it's an interesting point, listen to this. Prabhupada makes the point that Krishna is very tolerant, and he can tolerate many faults in his devotees. Particularly the new devotees like us, like me. I am a new devotee. You know, I have been a devotee, I've only been a devotee 47 years, less than 50 years. I am a new devotee. It's true, really. So Krishna can tolerate when his new devotees make some mistake or have some fault, something, they do something wrong, Krishna can tolerate because he knows that they're trying to be devotees, but they're new. But Prabhupada says, so Krishna can tolerate any fault in his devotee, but he cannot tolerate pride. If the devotee becomes proud, then Krishna does not like it. And Krishna will not tolerate it. And Krishna will do something about it. Yeah, to wake the devotee up that, oh, that shouldn't be proud. Yeah, so Krishna, so this is a very important point, and I saw it here. The humble sages, the humble devotees, Krishna gives them that spiritual vision. And humility is something that Lord Chaitanya emphasized a lot. You know, there's the famous verse in Shishasika. Verse number 3. Are you familiar with Shishasika? Trinada Peace, Sumichena. To Lord of Peace, Abhishthana. Abhadina, Manadena. Here to me, Sada Hare. One should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of false prestige, but ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And only in such a state of mind is it possible to chant the holy names constantly. Because if you're not in that state of mind, your mind sooner or later will tell you to stop chanting and to do something else. But of course we know now in this Kali Yuga the process is to chant the holy names. We need to really focus on chanting. But the way to really focus and be successful in chanting is to do it in a humble state of mind. Not thinking that, yes, I am chanting very nicely. Just like our young lady was singing earlier, the Ayati song, wasn't she singing nicely? I thought she was singing. Was she singing nicely? Okay, that means yes. Yeah, but if she thinks that yes, I am now the big singer from Kwadi Kruza. When they want someone to lead a kirtan, they ask me. Krishna will not like them. But rather, if she thinks that it's simply by the mercy of the Lord that I'm able to sing something, then, yeah, then Krishna will give mercy and Krishna will help. Let me give one little interesting example. I don't know if you've heard this example. There was one devotee in one temple in America many years ago. And he was a good cook. And especially his halva was very nice. Super duper halva. And he became a bit proud that yes, I'm a good cook. Just see, I'm a qualified devotee. But then Krishna didn't like it. And Krishna made an arrangement to embarrass him, to shock him about his cooking. He made him make a mistake in his cooking. He was cooking halva. And, you know, a sort of classic recipe for halva would be, say, you know, making a big pot, maybe 5 kilos of butter, 5 kilos of semolina, 5 kilos of sugar, and 10 liters, which is kilos also, of water. Yeah. 5, 5, 5, and then 10. of the water. So you know what this theologian did? Anyway, he cooked up this halibut, big pot, the whole big group of devotees, and then came out and they started serving, and the cook is standing there waiting for them to start eating and saying, "Oh, what a wonderful halibut." He was waiting to hear that. But the first devotee took a mouthful of halibut and made a face like, "Ah!" and spat it out. "Oh!" And he was just in shock. Because you know what he did? 5 kilos of butter, 5 kilos of semolina, 10 liters of water, and 5 kilos of salt. Salt. 5 kilos. Ooh. So it was just too horrible. It was like crazy. Even the animals would not eat it. So they left it under the trees, and even the trees would not eat it. Anyway, I'm just making the point that if we become proud, Krishna doesn't like it, and then he'll make some arrangement for us to become shocked, and then we feel that, "Oh, I mustn't be proud." So in regard to Lord Chaitanya, I said I was going to tell you a story about Lord Chaitanya. There's a few nice stories about Lord Chaitanya and humility, or, well, pride actually, and a person being very proud, but then learning the hard way that I must not be proud. So when Lord Chaitanya, when he was just young, means like around 20, he was teaching Sanskrit. He was just a young fellow, 20, but he had a group of boys, children, and he was teaching them Sanskrit. And one day, along came a very famous scholar. A very famous scholar whose specialty was to debate different philosophical points. He would have like competitions, debates. "I will defeat you. And when I defeat you, you must bow down before me." So he was very proud that I'm a big scholar and I always win the debates and no one is as intelligent as me. His name was Keshav Kashmiri. Keshav Kashmiri. So he came to Navadvip, where Lord Chaitanya was living, and because this man was so famous, and he was famous for debating and defeating people, all the scholars, means not the school children, scholars meaning all the intellectuals in Navadvip left town. They all went away because they were afraid. If we try to debate against this man, he'll defeat us and we'll look like fools. So they all left town. The only one left was Lord Chaitanya, who was only 20. just very young fellow. So anyway, Keshav Kashmiri couldn't find anyone to debate with, because they all met. So he came to Lord Chaitanya. At the time, Lord Chaitanya was known as Nimai. Nimai. Because he was born under a neem tree. So he was called Nimai. So this Keshav Kashmiri, he approached Lord Chaitanya in a very pompous way. You know, I'm a big intellectual. Who are you? So he approached young Lord Chaitanya and said, "Oh, I have heard of you. You have been my Pandit. Yes?" And Lord Chaitanya very humbly said, "Yes, sir." And that Keshav Kashmiri, he said, "I have heard that you are quite good at beginner's Sanskrit." In other words, he's being very rude, actually. "You are quite good at beginner's Sanskrit." And Lord Chaitanya, very humble, he said, "Sir, I am not on the level of your lowest student." And Keshav Kashmiri said, "Yes, I think you're right." He was a real character. So then Keshav Kashmiri, he decided to show off how intelligent he was by composing and reciting on the spot, right then and there, 100 verses glorifying Mother Ganges. So he just stood there, he just made them up and recited them. Just like that. Just like that. Amazing, actually. He could do that. And he finished 100 verses. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, "So, that was good, wasn't it?" And you know what Lord Chaitanya said? Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, it was very good, except for the mistakes." And the man said, "What mistakes? There were no mistakes. It was bad." And Lord Chaitanya said, No. "There were many mistakes. Let me give you one example." And you know what Lord Chaitanya did? He had memorized all the verses, and he repeated one of those 100 verses verbatim from memory, having heard it once. He repeated the verse. And Keshav Kashmiri couldn't believe it. "How did you memorize that?" And Lord Chaitanya pointed out some mistakes. And one of them, there were a few mistakes. One of them was, he referred to Lord Shiva. He referred to Lord Shiva as Bhavani Bharatu. You know, one name of Lord Shiva is Baba. You know that? People know who is Baba. Anyway, it's one name of Lord Shiva, Baba. And the Bani means the wife of Baba. Bani. And the Baitu means husband. So what he said was, in effect, that he is the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, which sort of indicates that Durga has two husbands. Bhagavati Bhattu, the husband of the wife of Baba, of Lord Shiva. The husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. So when Lord Chaitanya pointed that out, Keshav Kashmiri became bewildered. He understood. And Lord Chaitanya pointed out a number of other faults from the same verse, and then said, you know, there are many in every verse. Do you want me to point them all out? It was too much for Keshav Kashmiri. And he just sort of lost his intelligence. But then he thought, let me try again. Let me try to say something very intelligent. And then they'll think, oh, actually, he is intelligent after all. So he started speaking, trying to speak some philosophy. But when he spoke, it came out like, don't mind me saying this, it came out like Afrikaans. You know, I don't know about Afrikaans, but in Holland, where obviously they speak Dutch, The Dutch language is even worse than Afrikaans, by the way. And it's so kind of strange that English people from England call the Dutch language marbles. Marbles, you know, little round marbles, children have. Because it sounds like you're speaking with marbles in your mouth. So they call it marbles. And it sounds really strange. So he was trying to, you know, create the impression, just see, I am very intelligent. But it came out like, some craziness. Something's really wrong. And Lord Chaitanya, his students, when they heard that, they were young boys, they heard him speaking marbles, and they laughed. They laughed. And Lord Chaitanya stopped them. He said, no, don't laugh at him. He's a great scholar. Don't laugh at him. So then Keshav Kashmiri tried again to say something intelligent to impress everyone. He tried again. And again it came out like, well, in English we also say, double Dutch. If Dutch is bad enough, imagine double Dutch. And Lord Chaitanya's students laughed, and Lord Chaitanya did not stop them. This man, you know, he's used to thinking, I am just the best, the most intelligent. And he's used to people respecting him and glorifying him. And this has never happened, that some young boys are just laughing at him like he's a silly fool. So it was a big shock. It was a big shock. And the thing is, if we become proud, then the thing we can become, you know, really proud and think, I'm a great devotee, I'm an important devotee, I'm a senior devotee, I am an initiated devotee. Oh, and you are not. Then Krishna will intervene, because Krishna does not like it. And Krishna will do something so that you get a shock and you realize, oh, I'm actually not so good. So anyway, that Keshav Kashmiri, he went away just like practically crying. He was so upset. He was a devotee of Mother Saraswati, the goddess of Lord Living. And he would meditate on her, and she would speak to him. So he really had like a special relationship with Saraswati. And she would always give him intelligence. But not today. So he went back to where he was staying, and he prayed to Saraswati, why did you do this to me? Why did you take away my intelligence? Why? And no answer came. So then he went to sleep. And when he was sleeping, Saraswati appeared in his dream and spoke to him and said, you want to know why I withdrew your intelligence so you look like an idiot? The reason is because you were trying to make my world look like an idiot. That Nimai practice, Lord Chaitanya, you were trying to show off in front of him how you're the most intelligent, but know that Nimai, Lord Chaitanya, he is my Lord and Master. He is the Supreme Lord. He is actually Lord Krishna in person. And you cannot treat him like that. Therefore, I withdrew your intelligence. And the next day, Keshav Kashmiri came back to Lord Chaitanya, offered his full dandavas, prostrate on the floor, and became a devotee, and became a monk. Yeah. So there you go. Humility is very important. Humility is very important. Therefore, there's a little saying. Listen to this one. He who criticizes me is my friend. He who flatters me is my enemy. That's interesting, isn't it? Normally you think it's the other way around. That people who glorify me and my friends. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually said that. He who criticizes me is my friend. He who flatters me is my enemy. So we all, you know, actually in the past I came here, when it was stanker, I came here quite a few times in the past. I remember having a tent campaign here. Do you remember? She remembers that. Anyway. Didn't we have a tent campaign about 20 years ago? And one devotee climbed up on top of the tent and fell through. Do you remember that? I remember that. That was here in Stanga. It was around the year 2000 or so. We had a tent campaign here. So as devotees, I've heard so many things about the devotees from Stanga. I've heard the devotees from Stanga are very nice. I've heard they chant nicely. I've heard they are very humble. Is it true? That's a trick question. You're just testing me. Anyway, I think you passed the test. But that's what I heard. There are many nice devotees there. They're very humble. So, the key is to chant nicely. If we chant nicely, then it becomes easier to become humble. But it's also nice to pray to Krishna. That Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, I know I am a fool. But the problem is, I am such a fool, I cannot see what a fool I am. So Krishna, please give me the intelligence to see how I am a fool, what I really am. Krishna likes prayers like this. If we sincerely want to become humble, Krishna will appreciate very much. And Krishna will help us in many ways, actually. Krishna will help us in many ways. So, anyway, that's something you can think about. Let me tell you one more story. Is that okay? Acorn? Anjay. Sulu. Okay, I'll tell you one more. It's also about humility. It is a little more subtle. It is a little more subtle. When Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri. He lived there for quite some years.
And actually, since you're saying this one, I've got Bhagavad Gita to distribute. So they must listen attentively, so you ask them and they'll get a Bhagavad Gita.
Oh.
After the story.
I must ask them questions.
After the coming up, we talk about it.
There's more.
Did you hear that? We got all these Bhagavad Gita's brand new. And I must ask you questions. about what we've been talking about. And if you get Christmas right, you get a better Gita. Wow, that's pretty good. Okay, let's start. So don't forget the name of the big scholar from the last story. What was his name? Anyway, don't forget. All right. So now in this other story, Lord Chaitanya is living in Jagannath Puri, and his personal servant, personal assistant, was a devotee named Govinda. Don't forget that also. And they were both disciples of Ishvara Puri, who was a very great devotee from the previous generation. Ishvara Puri, don't forget that. So actually they're equals, they're what we call God brothers, or Hindidashne, Guru Bhava, God brothers. But still, Govinda was acting as the servant of Lord Chaitanya. So, Lord Chaitanya, after lunch, every day, he would lie down for a while on his side, on one side, and take a little nap, a short nap. Prabhupada would do the same thing after lunch, generally, a short nap, and Prabhupada called it a snack. Short nap becomes a snack. Don't forget that also. Okay. And while he was taking his snack, Govinda, his personal assistant, because Lord Chaitanya is on his side, Govinda would go around the back and massage his back while he's lying on his side. And he'd massage his back until Lord Chaitanya fell asleep. And when Lord Chaitanya fell asleep, Govinda would stop the massage and go and have lunch. But now, this day, one day, Lord Chaitanya, he had his lunch, and then he lay down on his side, but he lay down on his side, like practically right against the house that he was living in. Like, more or less contacting the wall of the house with his back, and Govinda somehow has to massage his back. So how to do it? So what he did, Govinda opened the door, he sort of leant across Lord Chaitanya's body, opened the door, pushed it open, climbed over the body of Lord Chaitanya into the doorway, turned around in the doorway, and while kneeling in the doorway, massaged Lord Chaitanya's back. You follow the idea? And so he massaged for a little while, and Lord Chaitanya fell asleep. So now normally Govinda will go and take lunch. But in order to do that now, he has to step over the body of Lord Chaitanya again. He stepped over in order to reach his bag. But now in order to go and have lunch, he has to step back over the body of Lord Chaitanya. And maybe you know, maybe, I understand the devotees from Kalukuta are very knowledgeable, including in etiquette. So therefore, you would probably know you do not step over someone's body. You don't. You don't step over the books. You don't step over the pictures. You don't step over prasada. And you don't step over the body of a devotee particularly. Because these things are all sacred. And it's disrespectful just to step over. So, Govinda, what did he do? He just stayed there, kneeling in the doorway at the back of Lord Chaitanya, and he didn't step out and go and have lunch. So Lord Chaitanya woke up after, it was just a snack. It was just a snack. So after just, 15 minutes or something, Lord Chaitanya woke up. And then he looked over his shoulder and saw, there is Govinda. He's still there, kneeling at my back from having massaged me. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? Why don't you go and take your lunch? And Govinda said nothing. But in his mind, he thought, in order to serve you, you know, to do the massage, I don't mind if I really have to. In order to serve you, I don't mind doing something which normally would be wrong if it's in your service. But to serve myself, you know, my eating, to serve myself, I will not do that. And he didn't say it, but he thought like that and just remained silent and very humble. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated that very much. And again, it's humility. It's humility. Yeah. He could have thought that, well, you know, he shouldn't have laid down here, that he made a mistake, so it's his problem, I'll just step over him. He could have thought like that, but he didn't. Because of humility. That I will not do something like that for my own pleasure. So it's another nice little story about humility. It's Lord Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, devotees, look, we've got five books here, five Bhagavad Gita's. Anyway, we'll see how we do. And we'll see how many questions I can come up with. You know, what you must do, I'm going to ask you a question. You must put your hand up. Okay, and then we'll see whose hand goes up first. And then if your hand goes up first, then you can answer the question, and if you get it right, You get the Bhagavad Gita. How's that? That's nice. So if the devotees, please tell me, what was the name of that big intellectual scholar? Yeah, in that story. Yeah, what? Keshava Kashmiri. Anyway, well done. Come and get a Bhagavad Gita. What's your name? Nish.
Ramesh.
Ramesh. Oh, yes. From?
Chhattisgarh.
Well done. See, he's not even from Stanford. And he beats all of you. You're just being humble, isn't it? That you don't just show up. Here's another question from that story. What was the name of the town that Lord Chaitanya was living in at that time? At that time? Yes, Prabhu. No. Good try. You want another try? What about Navadvip? Anyway, Lord Chaitanya was born in Navadvip and he lived his youth there. So anyway, good try. Come and get a Bhagavad Gita. Are you from Chhattisgarh also? Or are you from? So he composed the 100 verses about what? The Ganga. Well done, Master. You're from Spain, right? Yes, at last. No. Thank you. Here's something a little different. Here's sites of self-realization. Okay, here's an easy one. Who was Keshava Kashmiri, that big scholar? Who was he worshipping, the young girl over there? Well, how about Saraswati? Say yes. Okay, you got it right. Come. Are you from Stanga? Okay, you're all right then. Good girl. Hare Krishna. Here's another way to be done. Let's have a question from the second story. Here's an easy one. where was Lord Chaitanya living at the time of the second story about the message? Where was he living? Oh, go on. Yes! Yes! Good boy! And I know this from Quantum Kuzma. Stand up. Hare Krishna. Good boy. It's another brother in the future. Okay, right. Now see if you can get this one. What was the name of Lord Chaitanya's servant? See, you already got one. We must have new people now. What was the name of Lord Chaitanya's servant who best answered that? Yes. Govinda! Are you from Stanga? Okay, good idea. Hare Krishna. Here's another science of self-realization. This question now is a little more difficult. But it's possible. What was the name of Lord Chaitanya's guru, spiritual master, who was also the guru of Govinda? What was the name of their guru? Yes, sir. Ishvara Puri, well done. Thank you. Please come. Are you from Stanga? Okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it. That Lord Shiva is the Durga. Lord Shiva is the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. Good on you. Well done. Come again with our Lord Shiva. But the mind sometimes it seems to have a mind of its own. So how to keep the mind focused? There's a number of things which, if you add them all up together, they really help. One first thing is, get up early in the morning when the atmosphere is more peaceful and clear, and you will also feel more peaceful. You will be rested. Get up early in the morning. Take a bath. Put on clean clothes. And then go and chant in front of your altar. I assume at home you have a Krishna conscious altar. So you chant there. And while you're chanting, you play a recording of Srila Prabhupada chanting japa. And, if possible, or as much as possible, try to chant with other devotees. Because if you're chanting with a group of devotees, then the atmosphere is already Krishna conscious. Otherwise, you have to make the atmosphere Krishna conscious. So these are some points. And if you apply them, you'll find they really help a lot. Also, when you get a chance, attend a japa retreat or japa workshop. A special program for a few days where the devotees focus on japa. These things really help tremendously. What is a devotee's duty towards Namahata and ISKCON? Well, it depends on, if one is a practicing devotee, particularly if one is an initiated devotee, you know, if one is just coming for the first time as a guest, then, you know, you have no duty. But if you're regularly practicing, then, yeah, you have some duties, some responsibilities. If you're initiated, then you have to serve under the direction of the spiritual master. You have to stand to serve under the direction of Prabhupada. You have to try to spread Krishna consciousness. Try to help with the preaching in whatever way you're able. If you can distribute books, that's nice. If you can go out with a group of devotees and sing in the streets, it's nice. The Prabhupada said, if all you know about Krishna consciousness is that prasadam tastes good, just tell people that and give them prasadam. If that's all you know. Yeah. So, generally we should try to help. Because the process is devotional service. We have to serve Krishna. We have to serve Prabhupada. If you have a spiritual master, you have to serve the spiritual master. We should serve the other devotees. And we should serve the people by giving them Krishna consciousness. What is the duty of a so-called devotee once he has heard his best friend and devotee? Hare Bol. Interesting question. Can he go on acting like he is perfect? Isn't that a classic? Well, you know, we already said something about humility. We definitely shouldn't think we're perfect. If you think you're perfect, well, you're almost in a hopeless condition, actually. But if you somehow offend another devotee, put it that way, if you offend another devotee, whether it's your friend or just anyone, then you should understand you have made a very serious mistake and you must make good that. You must come right and you must put it right. Yeah. Don't just think that, it doesn't matter so much. If you've offended another devotee, you must apologize. Beg forgiveness and render some service to that devotee. Yes. Otherwise, Krishna, it's another thing Krishna doesn't like. He doesn't like pride and he doesn't like us to offend devotees. He gets very upset and he takes action. Here's an interesting question. Why is Krishna blue? Are you all? Krishna is not exactly blue. I mean, it's sort of blue, but the color in Sanskrit language, the color is called shyama. Shyama. And shyama means blackish blue, almost black, but not exactly black, blackish blue. And one of our acharyas, he gives an explanation why Krishna is that sort of color. He says that if you take all the colors, you know, like pencils or paints or colors, different, many different colors, and you mix them together, then you will come out with a color which is close to black, but it's not actually black. It's something like this. A blackish blue sort of mixed color, approaching black. And Krishna is the sum total of everything. He is the sum total of all colors also. Therefore, Why can't vegetarians eat eggs? Because there's no chance of a chicken hatching from the egg. Well, we are vegetarian, and you may have noticed chickens are not vegetables. Did you notice? And chickens do not produce vegetables. They produce chicken things. Whether it's fertilized or not, it's a chicken thing. Yeah, so therefore we don't eat those things. And, you know, another way of putting it is that Krishna does not eat eggs. Krishna doesn't even eat all the different types of vegetables. As you, I'm sure you know, he doesn't eat onions. He doesn't eat garlic. He doesn't eat these things. They're vegetables. Krishna does not eat the grass. He lets the cows eat the grass. So, Krishna is particular about what he eats. Even, you know, in our temples like in Phoenix and in Chatsworth, not only do we not offer the deities onions or garlic, we don't offer them mushrooms. And we don't even offer them, would you believe, you might be surprised to hear this, we do not offer them frozen vegetables or canned or like dried. We don't offer them, only fresh, first class, of best quality. Because when they're frozen, they lose quality. Okay, here's the last one. After being initiated, can we eat food in anyone's house? Someone around here likes eating. Well, you know what we do? I'll tell you what we generally do. When we're moving around visiting people in their houses. So it happens, you know, often even, that people will invite us in and offer us something to eat. And if it's a devotee, who are maintaining the standards of Christian consciousness, then we can accept cooked food, prasada. But if they're not devotees, and the food is not offered, and if they're still eating meat, then it's generally best not to eat food cooked by people who are not maintaining the proper standards. But what we do is we accept some fruit. Something uncooked. Some fruit. Yeah. So that's what we do. Srila Prabhupada. Okay. So, what's our program?
Now we'll finish, but we'll do Guru Puja, so I got sweets for you to give the devotees. So what they'll do is they'll offer Prabhupada flowers and then they'll come and take a sweet, Bharan and like that.
Okay.
Can I tell them that?
Sure.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Now we'll do Guru Puja and then you offer flowers to Srila Prabhupada and then you come and tell your devotees to Maharaj, and we get a small Shruti Manipur from Maharaj. And this kettles that we told to cook for Maharaj in the cake. So since we bought the kettles, we can offer something Maharaj to see. So offer to Prabhupada, pay our obeisances to Prabhupada, and then to Guru Maharaj, take your prasad, offer some flowers as well.
You understand? Very good. Give him the money or you want to come out
of the day. Come here.
How to turn